Cali, Cali. I'm going back to Cali. I don't think so. I'm going back to Cali.
All right, I have to ask. Going back to Cali. Was that in your CD playlist, Stephen Silas?
Of course it was. LL Cool J? What was that, like 90?
You're asking the wrong person.
So it wasn't in yours.
Well, I could lie. I mean, hey, are we going to see sun on this entire trip, by the way? I mean, this rain is... I didn't think we were in Seattle for a week.
Well, you know, California's having these big storms, so we're lucky that it's not like storming like crazy. But it's good to be out in California. Go compete a little bit.
I got you. Hey, I had a call yesterday that I told him I would talk to you about it directly, and it was about your comments about keeping a positive attitude. And he was a little surprised that maybe you should go in there and yell and scream some more and throw some Gatorade bottles or whatever the case may be. So I'd like you, as compared to me paraphrasing what you said, just explain to the audience, with this super young team in this rebuild process, and obviously the losses are mounting up and it's frustrating for everybody, but just your thought about cleansing yourself every day and not letting these individual losses pile up so you become a grumpy SOB every single day.
For sure. I mean, it's very similar to parenting, right? Where if you are coming into the house every single day angry and upset and yelling at the kids and angry that they're making mistakes that kids do and not accepting of some of those mistakes, but also teaching them what their mistakes were and how they can do better. The best way for me to do that is to be positive with them. That's not saying that they don't get corrected, they don't get disciplined, they don't be held accountable, but for the overall health of the house, there has to be a positive vibe and a positivity where when the kids come home from school, they are happy to be there and they are willing to learn and willing to listen. And that's the best analogy I can come up with when it comes to these guys, because there's a lot of teaching to do. And in order for someone to listen their best, sometimes it has to be, they have to want to listen, and they have to want to be where they are, and they have to feel good about the vibe in the building, and they have to understand that, yeah, there's certain things that aren't going to be tolerated, but for the most part, I'm going to stay positive in order for the group to be positive. I don't want a negative group, and although the progress hasn't been shown as far as wins is concerned, there's been huge progress as far as the foundation that we're building for the future.
When I get mad at my kids, and I'll use your reference on this, I typically don't go in there and yell and scream when it's needed or be nice when it's needed. I usually go to my wife and say, how should I handle this, and then go from there. Let me ask you this. Do you go to your assistants? Do you go to Eric? Do you go to somebody and say, all right, it's time for you to do some yelling and screaming, and then it's time for you to go find a player and give him a hug? I mean, do you seek counsel, or do you feel like you've done this long enough, because you've been in the NBA a very long period of time as an assistant, now as a head coach, that you kind of know when to read the room properly?
I do feel like I need to read the room, but I was always one of the assistants that the head coach would go to and fix problems, and that's what you have a staff for. So yeah, the head coach has to be able to read the temperature of the room and understand what kind of tone needs to be set, but also has to be able to use their assistants in a way where, because assistants, it's easier for them to get closer to the players because they work with a handful of players on a daily basis. They watch individual film with them on a daily basis. They work with them on the court on a daily basis. And for me, with 17 guys, I can't get to that same close relationship. So, yeah, I lean on my assistants. I lean on John Lucas and Lionel Hollins and Mike Batiste and Rick Higgins and the other guys to help me with that, because I can't do it all, for sure.
Visiting with Stephen Salas here on Sports Talk 790. In the game against Minnesota, the open threes were there and they just weren't dropping. That has to be probably not so much. Well, you're going to be frustrated when things don't go in anyway, but I'm sure for your young players, I had the open look. I got to make that shot. How much of that is running through their brains right now?
A lot. We haven't been shooting the ball well for a while, and our quality of shots has been pretty good. And it's one of those things where you don't want to have it to be where they're so worried about making or missing shots to where they're playing tight. But you also want them to understand that, yeah, when we get these open shots, we need to be prepared to make them. And we do a lot of work on our shooting. We do a lot of work on our spacing to make sure that we're getting good open looks. And we trust that if we get the right shot, then the shots will fall. And, you know, we've obviously gone through a rough stretch with our shooting, but we're going to continue to shoot the shots that are there, because that's the way basketball should be played. We're very good at getting to the rim. We're very good at getting to the free throw line. We get quality open threes. We just got to knock them down.
You've had Jay Shaw now for a few games. Are you going to start to see an amp up in minutes, or are you still proceeding with caution right now?
Still proceeding with caution right now. He was out for a long, long time, so we're still going to keep him on the minute restriction. But I love what he's doing on the court as far as the energy that he brings, the organization that he brings on both ends of the floor, and the spirit that he brings. He's a positive guy. And when you're going to go moving back to our discussion about positivity, when you're going through hard times, some of that positivity is good.
I ask you this once a year since the NBA has implemented this. Do you like the back-to-back same opponent competition, or do you like to see them separate a little bit?
I like it. I like coming to one city and kind of planting like a baseball team and playing the same team. For us, it's very much about, you know, the who you're playing and their tendencies and who are the shooters and who are the guys that you have to go over the pick and roll, who are the guys that you can go under the pick and roll, and what a guy's tendencies are when he gets the ball in the post as far as Sabonis or Barnes tonight. So, these are really good for us because we can learn. Hopefully we'll play well tonight and have a lot of success and whatever, but regardless of what happens tonight, we take these opportunities to learn and gain experience. So in the second game, we usually play better.
Is De'Aaron Fox the best player in the NBA no one knows about? And I'm not even saying no one, but relatively speaking, you're in Northern California. The Kings have not made a lot of playoffs the last handful of years. Every time I watch him, I always seem very impressed.
Yeah, he's a very good basketball player. It's been a while. You know, he's been in the league, what's this, his fifth year maybe? So he's fourth or fifth year. So he's gained some experience over the years, and they haven't won a bunch, but they're playing better this season. And he is just so hard to guard because of his speed. I mean, he gets the ball where he wants to get, and he's athletic and has a quick burst and shooting the ball better this season and really putting a lot of pressure on defenses. And he's always done that, but it seems like there's a little bit more purpose this year, especially with the experience that he's had. So, he's a really, really good basketball player. And you pair him with Sabonis, who's also just a good basketball player, same thing, experienced. They make a good duo, which helps you have a good team, and they're playing a lot better this season.
Great stuff as always, Coach. Thank you so very much for the time. We'll see you in a few hours as we make that long jog over to the arena next door.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks, Coach. All right, that's Stephen Salas with us here on the Matt Thomas Show. 2:41 here on the program. You can be that guy that wants to scream and yell. And I was bringing this up. Was it with you yesterday about Tom Thibodeau? I think he's a great coach. But, Michael, if Tom Thibodeau's coaching 19 and 20 and 21-year-olds, they're checked out pretty quick.
Oh, hell yeah. I was actually watching, the Knicks game last night was on the replay on the TV today at the gym. And I mean, he was doing some yelling. And I'm like, it's not going to go over well with some of those guys.
And you should be able to, regardless of how much somebody makes or how old they are or maturity level, you should be able to be who you are. But I think if Stephen Silas all of a sudden was so grumpy for 4 or 5 straight days, they'd be like, this is not you.
Yeah, they'd figure it out. He comes across always as a genuinely nice person.
Which, again, but let me tell you something. When we lose a game and we get on the plane, there's no smiling.
I would imagine.
It's a full scowl. So this is, and I would think anybody would, you know, if somebody says, oh, that guy's an awesome person. Awesome people with positive attitudes and great energy are allowed to be pissed off sometimes.
Absolutely. Happens to me.
Yeah, I mean, I call you Mr. Positivity, and you're even grumpy sometimes.
I know.
So I would just say be very, very careful that when a coach is asked about keeping things as positive as you can during this, you know, this tough stretch, don't mistake that for there's no way that Stephen Silas is very happy with having a 10-30 record. This is no way he's not pleased by losing 12 or 13 in games or losing 7 in a row. There is no one high-fiving each other saying, man, we're doing all right. We were on pace. I mean, I think probably if you were to be honest, the Texans and Rockets probably share the same thing. We're not proceeding as quickly as we'd like.
Correct. I have been disappointed as a fan of the Rockets this year at the lack of progression as the season's moved along in terms of shooting, like you talked about the shooting there. Yeah. I just feel like the offensive progression's kind of hit the wall, and there hasn't been a lot to grasp to of like, and this looks really good. Like, Alpe's had some really good runs this year. He's looking like a better player, but defensively, there's still a lot of stuff lacking. Yeah. And Jalen just can't get a consistent shot at all. I'm not worried about Jabari. Like, it's his first year. It's not like Jalen last year. Like, rookie year, it's whatever.
I just want those open threes to come down.
Yep.
Contested shots just don't get made very often. They just don't. And you have to credit defenses. But I need, and I guarantee you, Stephen Silas, and those guys for man-to-man, they need those open shots to fall because here's what's going to happen, Michael. They're going to zone up on the Rockets a lot second half of the year.
God, the zone. It's so frustrating to watch because it's like, this is like high school basketball stuff, and it crushes them. It crushes them.
713-212-5790. 713-212-5790. That's the number you will use for today's edition of Believe It or Not, all things about the city of Sacramento. 243 on Sports Talk 790.